Welcome to the Martial Mind Power Podcast, where you discover how to cultivate self-mastery towards your self-realization, inspired by martial arts and philosophy.
There's stagnant energy that needs to be opened up and allowed to flow freely. So we talk about this idea of chi or prana, which is this cosmic energy. And remember, we talked about cosmic energy is around us and inside us all the time, and it's moving through us. We don't have an understanding of what that force is. I don't think we've ever had an understanding of what that force is. For example, we still don't understand what electricity is. We know what it can do, but we don't understand it. You can't see it, right? Therefore, it's a force. The key thing is this spiritual energy, or this cosmic energy, or this energy of consciousness, if you may, as it's always moving, in order to actually attune to it and to connect with it and to listen to it, you have to be still.
Welcome everybody to Martial Mind Power Podcast. I'm Jitendra Palaha and I'm here with Sifu Lakloi. How are you doing, Sifu Lakloi?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
And we're going to be diving into the book, The Art of Thinking Without Thinking, and just running the random number generator on Google, and the page it's come up with is 458.
I am still yet moving, right? So let's start off by showing the viewers the image here, okay? So basically, we've got an image of a beautiful sea that's in a golden hue, okay? A sunburst golden hue with a golden sky. Okay, so everything's golden and this sea looks very tranquil, okay? And it's just got a few ripples on there. So it's a very calm, calm sea or calm waters. So let's crack on then. So what did you experience in the inner depths of your being when you heard, I am still yet moving?
This one's deep on multiple levels. In one context, it's almost like, the busy world, walking through it, but you maintaining your poise, right? So you're kind of still in with your thoughts, but yet you're still moving through life. The other thing that came to me was also this thing I heard about once, about how they call the sun the unmoved mover, right? In the sense that it's this powerful light in the middle, which has got all these planets revolving around it. It's not doing anything as such, but it's everything else is revolving around it. But on a cosmic level, it's all moving as well at the same time, right? While all the other planets are still moving with it. So it's like a form of stillness, presence, while everything else revolves around it. That's what comes up for me.
What do they call it? Like the helioscopic effect or something like that, right? The word is a specific word for that kind of movement where the sun's moving and everything else is orbiting around it and moving. And again, it's just a theory, right? But yeah, it speaks to the idea of being still yet moving. Okay. So yeah, so the sun was the second one you said. The first one was?
Normal human being living through life with the noise and distractions of everything, but trying to be present. So you're still within your thoughts and you're who you are, your own being, but while everything else is going on around you and you're still moving through life.
Got you. That's good. Good. So, it's good. I mean, even in all of that, there's quite a lot to unpack. Living life on a daily basis. If you're busy all the time, and both physically, mentally, and emotionally, there's just a lot of movement going on all the time on a physical and mental level. And when that happens, quite often, it starts to cause distress because you actually need to have some tranquility in your mind to be able to recalibrate your thoughts by calming your mind and composing yourself. And then you can effectively attain clarity on what it is that you want to express and how you want to behave and act in life. Otherwise, things can become quite haphazard all the time. Becoming still, as you mentioned, and calming the mind so you become present and start to enjoy that moment is very hard to do for a lot of people. Okay. And especially as lives, especially we live in a modern information age where, and a modern age where we have a fast food mentality on everything. We expect everything now, that it puts a lot of pressure on people to take time to think about things. And in order to think, carefully, with kind consideration beyond just yourself and what's actually happening, requires you to become present in that moment to be able to see everything in collectively and holistically. So there is that element of it. The sun and the planets moving around it, as I said, it's a theory, and it's actually a beautiful animation of this online. You can go to YouTube and you can see that on there. And there's a fantastic video on how scientists believe this helioscopic effect is happening. forgive me for using the wrong word there, but hopefully you get the idea. It seems like the sun is kind of stationary. But actually, it's not. It's all moving all the time, according to this theory, right? So, so therefore, it's still, but everything's moving, right? So, yes, it's there are definitely two really powerful takes on what's happening around us on a daily basis, but what's happening around us on an astrological basis as well. Now, this koan is actually an interesting koan. I am still yet moving, because actually what it's referring to is something much greater than the physical level and much greater than the mental level. What it's actually trying to tap into is the cosmic level, the spiritual level. So what's happening on a spiritual level is everything's always moving. Energy is always moving. Right, whether it's on a physical level, mental level, emotional level, or spiritual level, it's always moving, even though it may seem still. But the key thing is this spiritual energy, or this cosmic energy, or this energy of consciousness, if you may, as it's always moving, in order to actually attune to it and to connect with it and to listen to it, you have to be still. All right. So this is the most simplistic explanation about this koan is you have to get into that state of stillness, and that stillness, within that stillness, you will connect to the ethereal movement, and that ethereal movement will then help you understand and get the answers that you need to the questions that you have and the inquiries that you have and the guidance that you need and the insights that you need in order to ascend and transcend in this existence, so that you know you can really kind of tap into your highest true authentic higher self. And that's really the core of this koan.
Mm-hmm. it's fascinating one, Lex, because it's funny, just like exactly last week had a bit of a insight. And then I made a note of it on Evernote, so I just quickly pulled it up, right? I'll read it out. It's not too long. And it was basically, you know, I titled it, "Nothing Moves Unless Moved," right? and basically what happened was I was looking around my room and it dawned on me how things will just stay where they are unless I move them, right? Yeah. The link my brain then made that is that nothing in the universe can change unless moved. All right. If it just sits there, it will remain there unless something happens, like Newton's law, which states that an object will remain at rest or move at constant speed in a straight line unless it is acted upon by unbalanced force. In order for things to change, things have to move. If we keep doing what we keep doing, is an unmoved or unchanged state. Therefore, we keep getting what we keep getting. Either we move something or something external needs to make it move. Therefore, change happens with movement. Only change can create change. Like they say, still water becomes stale. But in that case, an ecosystem may start to grow in that environment as nature just takes over, right? That's because nature never stops moving. It's the natural force that will eventually get everything else to move. So this is the subtle nature of the universe, that it never stops moving. Hence, everything changes over time. To relate back to life, make a change, move, do something in order to get things around you to start moving, else something external will do it. Change is good. Change is a good thing, else we will become stale. Right.
It's funny that you say that, because this Khan is actually talking to that aspect of stagnant energy becomes stale. And it will decay and die, as you know. Bruce Lee even said in one of his famous quotes, around be like water. And it's a continuous theme in keep on moving, in the idea to progress, to grow, to stay alive, to stay vibrant, is to keep moving. I was just kind of trying to find this one specific section in my book where I refer to energy, and in particular matter. Now, matter is a funny thing, because matter doesn't really matter, first and foremost. Because they say that if you...
Unless it's antimatter.
Well, this is the thing, right? This is the doesn't matter part, right? Which is the antimatter part. Matter,
then we get warp speed.
The matter and the doesn't matter is the antimatter to the matter, right? So if that's starting to hurt your brain, listeners and viewers, stick with this is our little yin yangery that's going on.
What do you call it? Yin yangery.
So the thing I wanted to talk about matter was, it's interesting because they say that, you know, within the core of an atom, you've got the nucleus, right? And around the nucleus, you've got all these electrons and protons that are just floating around, or electrons, should I say. And you've got the neutrons and protons in the center, and a whole bunch of other things, without going into the deep science of that. But they say the ratio between the nucleus and the actual electrons that are orbiting the nucleus is the same ratio as the Earth is to the Sun. So basically, most of what an atom is just empty space. And it's funny, I was reading this yesterday, and it said that if you were to take all the matter, let's just say the matter in a mobile phone, and just compress it down, so all the empty space is gone, that it will diminish down into a tiny particle that still would be unable to be picked up by a microscope. That's how small it
would be. Wow. Yeah.
Because we as human beings still haven't got the facility to see an atom. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, right? Maybe science has moved on, or maybe I haven't read that part of the knowledge in the science yet that relates to that, but that's what I understand, but I might be wrong. So, but if that is the case, then much of what you see actually is nothing. It's literally nothing. Now, what I'm trying to get to is, I want to try and bring up a copy of my book and do a search on it, because in one of these books, it actually states a number. Then the number is that they say that most of the things that you see. Okay, so they say the natural argument is, all right, so if everything is space and there's a wall there, okay, and I go and if I am predominantly space and the wall is predominantly space because it's also matter, then I should be able to walk through it. But obviously, if I try to walk through it, I'll probably get a really sore nose or head and a bump and a lump somewhere, right? So you can't. So what is stopping you? And the thing that's stopping you is the forces that are holding them together, right? The invisible forces that are holding the atoms together. That's the things that are stopping you from walking through a wall. Because otherwise, if it's just space against space, it just kind of blends into one, right? So the force is actually an interesting thing, because that then raises the subject of what is this force? Now, the answer to that is no one knows. Science has not, again, in my humble research, and again, you know, I'm not a dedicated, physicist or atomist or anything like that. But what I understand is we don't have an understanding of what that force is. I don't think we've ever had an understanding of what that force is. For example, we still don't understand what electricity is. We know what it can do, but we don't understand it. You can't see it, right? Therefore, it's a force. So it's these forces that are holding us together. And they say these forces are such that these atoms, the atoms, the nucleus and all the electrons as a unit, in order to give the expression that they are material or solid or gas or liquid, they vibrate. Vibrate at 80,000 miles an hour. So coming back to what you said about stagnation, literally, if the atom stops to vibrate at 80,000 miles an hour and goes to 0 miles an hour, it's done. No forces left anymore. It's died. So everything that exists and everything that doesn't exist, as in the things that you can't see, the matter versus antimatter, is moving.
It's moving, yeah.
Yeah, it's all moving. And it ceases to be once it stops to move.
Exactly. But isn't it interesting that, like, for example, if you left an apple on a table, right, it'll slow down, it'll decay, it'll rot away, right? And if that apple was, like, you know, in the garden, for example, then nature will take over and it will use its nutrients and leftovers and become part of the soil and whatever, and then something new will grow out of it, right?
Exactly.
It's exactly. So amazing, like, how something is part of a cycle to something else.
Exactly. And it's a symbiotic relationship that everything has with everything else. And it's interesting, right? You know, as human beings, we're such egocentric machines sometimes that we think that, you know, the world revolves around us and that we're so big and cocky and all this kind of stuff. But actually, you know, even in something as beautiful as the Bible says it, you know, from ashes to ashes, you know, we're all going to end up going back to ashes at some point. In other words, we're going to end back in our pure carbon form.
Yeah.
Then all of our nutrients, minerals, vitamins that are left in our remains are going to be absorbed back into earth, or, you know, in some way, shape or form. And, you know, whether you're cremated when your time comes or whether you're buried when your time comes, you know, you're going to return back to it. The only exception to the rule is if you're embalmed as a mummy, then everything's contained in that container, which means, you know, you've been prevented from going back for some, you know, some sentiment and tradition and so on. So, and that's there's different reasons behind that. But generally, you know, you get the idea that, you know, you're going to decay and you're going to return back down to the basics. Yeah. And then there's a beautiful saying, it's like, you know, something along the lines of basically be kind to insects because one day the insects will be eating you.
Exactly.
Right. You know, so it's
amazing. Yeah.
Everything that comes around goes around. Literally. And then we can extend this whole idea to say, okay, if everything comes around, goes around, then reincarnation is the biggest phenomenon around everything that comes around, goes around. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you reincarnate, you die.
As the insect shit.
Did you use a profane word there? I've never heard you use the profane word.
It's exclusive for our podcast for the first time. I should have said poop emoji.
I've never heard you say anything in a profane way. And even then, it's not that bad. So that's quite funny. I, on the other hand, sometimes use expletives as and when necessary to emphasize things. But yeah, that's quite, that made me laugh. Yeah, so.
Broken rhythm. Yeah. Break the pattern for once.
Most definitely broke the pattern there. So stagnant energy. So then on the stagnant energy part of things, we have to be careful to stay vibrant. We need our atoms to be vibrating at, you know, this 80,000 miles per hour, you know, frequency, or speed, and you know, there'll be a frequency of vibration around that, and actually it starts to tap into our energetic beings, because if an atom is moving at 80,000 miles an hour, it's moving so fast you can't see it. It starts to look solid. It's like if you take a pen and you start to move it like this, it starts to look like one big block of metal after a while, right? Our kids have got this little stick. It's a kind of rod, right? It's like a rectangular stick with, it's got a kind of a dummy fly there, a dummy fly on one side. And then on the flip side of it, it's got one right in the middle. And the idea is if you start to, you know, twist it fast enough, it looks like you got three flies in one row. And it's quite interesting, you know, that it all starts to look solid.
Hmm.
Now, anything that vibrate, anything that moves or vibrates will have a frequency, what we refer to as a vibrational frequency. Now, that vibration frequency is interesting because certain frequencies, so when you feel sad, for instance, you will vibrate on what would be referred to as a low state frequency. And then when you're in a later state, you will vibrate on a high state frequency. Now, it's important to understand and try to maintain your vibration, right? Vibration is synonymous with movement, okay? And as you do that, you can start to make sure that you stay healthy, okay, in the most part, and that your cells are operating optimally and healthily. All right. Now, then you've got now this. Okay, so this is you as your energetic being in this body, in this physical domain, right now, right here. Okay, so you can change your vibrational state. Right. But then, okay, so then you can start talking about, okay, so then we were talking about this cosmic energy, which is this, you know, ethereal energy that's moving around us, through us, you know, all the time. And how do you connect to that? And what is it that is that you connect to in order to raise your consciousness? Well, again, it's just energy. So how do you do that? Well, one of the things that ancient wisdom and teachings has shown us is that we have chakras, And the chakras are, you know, your base of your pelvis, your belly button, your solar plexus, your heart, your throat, your third eye, and then your crown chakra, which is just above the crown of your head. And it's actually outside your body. It's not in or on your body. It's outside yourself. And then there's more chakras that are outside your body. And they just keep going up. So they go up as your vibrational state increases. Now, the idea is that each of your chakras actually vibrate at certain frequencies. Okay, so you can look this up. Each chakra has a certain vibrational frequency. And as you, the idea is that all energy starts from the base of your spine, which is why it's at the bottom. Now I mentioned it starts, you know, at the pelvis, and then it goes to your navel, and it goes to your solar plexus, and it goes to your heart, then it goes to your throat, and then it goes to your third eye, and then it goes to there. But those points that I mentioned are actually not on the front of your body. They're actually on the spine. Okay. So what you're trying to do is your spine is like an antenna. Okay. So imagine this is your spine. And what you want to do is you want to draw the energy from the bottom of the spine all the way up to up from this antenna all the way out. Okay, it's a transmitter. It's like a transmitting energy. Okay, as well as receiving energy, but you want to transmit out. And the idea to do that is that you need to be attuned to yourself. Okay, and the more you resonate with the resonant frequencies of your spine, it starts to become magnetized. And as it starts to become magnetized, it starts to then operate effectively. Okay. And then as that magnetizes, it starts to draw energy up into your third eye, up into your crown chakra. And that will allow you to see once you're unblocked in those spaces. Now you could be blocked at any of those energetic levels. So if you feel like, you know, you get a lot of stomach aches or things like that, or you feel some kind of issues around your abdominal area when you're trying to meditate, you might be blocked around your navel chakra. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? That means you're not open there. So there's stagnant energy that needs to be opened up and allowed to flow freely. So we talk about this idea of chi or prana, which is this cosmic energy. And remember, we talked about cosmic energy is around us and inside us all the time, and it's moving through us all the time. So as we are submerged inside it, we want to be able to connect to it properly and allow it to flow within our body effectively as well. So we have to make sure that we also are tuned into that vibrational frequency by meditating, which is the only way to do that, right? Or using sound practices, or using certain kind of rhythmic dance and music. And there's certain ways that you can do this, but ultimately at some point you're gonna have to do some sitting meditation practice, right, to really tap into it, right? But they all help one another. So ultimately all of the above, right? And then that way you'll be able to kind of raise your intrinsic vibrational energy, and then, you know, hopefully you'll be able to start to connect and tap into the ether and the ethereal cosmic energy, and get the answers that you need, that what I call the divine intelligence, the intelligence from the ether. We don't realize that actually we are submerged in this intelligent space. And we can tap into disintelligence and all the memories and the thoughts that anyone has ever thought in the cosmos anytime. And that's called the Akash, okay? And we can tap into all of that once we, you know, start to cultivate those skills have the ability to start to tap into those faculties that we've got. But we've all got them. This is the thing. We've all got the that power within us. Okay. And it's really down to the individual to decide, well, is this something that, you know, I believe in? Okay. Because you have to initially have a belief that something exists without you actually knowing. And then when you experience it, then you're like, oh, I know this now. Now I don't believe it. I know it. Okay, now it's become a whole new thing. So I'm talking from knowing. There was a time when I believed and I didn't know, but I had to, the thing that kept me going was faith. Faith that I'm going to be able to attain that at some point. And that's a wavy, wavy journey, by the way, right? It's wavy because you don't always get the progress that you want, or you don't always get the signs that you really want. You don't always have the affirmations that you want, but that's okay. Want is irrelevant. What is important is that you're still doing the work and eventually you get there. And it's a bit like, imagine, you know, you go to do a university graduate course, okay? At the end of it, you don't know if you're going to get a job or you're going to set up a business or anything like that, but you're still committed to go through a 3, 4, 5, 7 year journey, okay? Doing whatever course you're doing. You don't know what the end outcome is going to be. You could end up working at Tesco's, right? After having a degree or a master's or whatever it might be, right? Or you could, you know, turn up to go set up a really successful business or find a really successful job and really love it. You don't know. You have that faith from the beginning that, all right, if you go down this route, it will amount to something later on, but you will deal with that then. Right. And it's
a disclaimer on that is that we're not saying that there's wrong to work in Tesco or anything like that, because they got some really good managerial places and all this kind of thing. The context is like ending up in a job that you don't really like or not,
yes,
you know, happy with. That's the angle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, you know, my mother works in a supermarket, so I'm not denigrating supermarket jobs at all. I've worked in supermarkets. I've worked in shops, right, from a very, very, very young age.
Yep.
So yeah, you're 100% right. But what I'm trying to point out is, if you're training to be astrologist or a physicist or quantum physicist, and you can't find a job or whatever, and you end up in a profession like that in a supermarket, it doesn't honor the skills and your education and the investment that you made in yourself to attain those qualifications, right? And therefore, it's a shame, right? It's a shame that, you know, your that person's skills and experience are not utilized in the right space, or there's not the right jobs or whatever available, or whatever factors it might be. There's a million and one reasons why that could not happen, right? So you're 100% right. Thanks for pointing that out, because I didn't mean that in a derogatory way at all. It's more in a way that, you know, what you deserve after you put that effort into it. But, you know, coming back to the key point is you've got to have that faith. And then the realization happens when it realizes. You don't know when it's going to realize. You don't know how it's going to materialize either, right? And that's something you've got to have the faith in. So if you really, really have the will and intention and the conscious action behind attaining something, you've got to just keep working at it, regardless of the outcome, until you create the outcome that you want by being persistent and persevering through all of the pain and perspiration, as it were, you know? And sometimes it doesn't have to be pain and perspiration. Sometimes the process can be pleasurable. I'm using P's, you know. They're all connected, right?
That's right? It.
So hopefully, that resonates with people. Like I said, apologies, nothing bad against anybody working in a supermarket. I personally worked at supermarkets throughout to facilitate and support myself through university and college.
It's the best thing. It's the best thing. It's like the best place you could get, you know, training education. Oh, yeah. And talking about training education, like you alluded to earlier on as well, like, you know, we were talking about, you know, moving through life, the noises of things around us, being still. And I was just like, I just made a note earlier on to say that, like, we're not really like taught from a young age on how we can manage our emotions and mind in certain situations and scenarios, because if you think about it, from every scenario, like you're watching a film, right? And something happens in the film you know, the crowd runs off, they're screaming and shouting. These are all like things that add to our training on how we think we should behave in a certain situation or scenario, right? But then you look at, like, in a movie, for example, you might see some sort of wicked SAS guy who goes into a situation, or girl, goes into a situation, right? And is like calm, like the James Bonds, they're calm and they're just looking around and they're able to carry on doing what they need to do in that scenario. But that's all based on training. Right. So that thing what Lex is sharing about in terms of like training and education is a very, very important thing, because sometimes we think something's not possible or we don't even know what we don't know. Right. It's only when we start to learn and look into these things and start to connect with those and think, okay, how can I do these things in this situation and scenarios? So if we've been mindful of the way we've grown up, the way we come across information and knowledge, it can help us if we are tapping into the right stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Perseverance and patience, man. You know, and persistence. You got to keep going. You got to keep
practice
going
over time. Yeah.
And on the practice side is, there's this obviously idiom that says, practice makes perfect. Problem is, if you practice the wrong thing, you're gonna basically make it perfect, and not in a good way. So,
and that's a wicked one, because I just want to say that, for example, if you're doing something like, if you're stressed and you keep getting stressed, then you're getting better at becoming stressed, right? You see what I mean? Because you're training yourself to stay in that stressed state, so you become better at it. So the same way, if you become resourceful and you become more resourceful, you become better at being resourceful, you know?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to drop that in because it was like such an interesting thing.
so I call it perfect practice makes perfect.
Mm.
Right. But in Japanese, they've got this word called kombate, right? And it sounds like combat. And it's interesting because actually combat means perseverance. Kombate means perseverance and persistence, right? To keep going no matter whatever challenges, come in the way, that you keep going, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Hence the movement, right?
I mean, when people say, keep going unwaveringly, well, actually, the whole point is you're going to be wavered, right? Because you can't keep persisting against something that is not wavering you, right? That's the whole point, persistence against challenge, right? Opposition, obstacles, right? So there's going to be wavering happening. So for those people that think, hey, you know what, perseverance and persistence is just about going no matter what, and I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to stand strong, and nothing's going to phase me. Well, actually, don't believe the myth, right? The idea behind all of that is you may become phased at some point. It's okay, right? Just become unfazed as quickly as possible and then carry on. That's what persistence is, okay? Right?
And it's okay to stop and pivot if what you're doing isn't serving you. It's like if the results are not being achieved, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It just means maybe you just haven't added the extra bit of knowledge you needed, and or you slightly need to pivot on your path. But that comes with learning and experience.
Absolutely. As a good friend of mine once said, if you're traveling up the wrong road, no matter what, whether you go 100 yards up that road, 100 miles up that road, 1,000 miles up that road, it's still the wrong road.
Mm.
Change roads, get onto the right road. So
exactly.
And having that self-awareness and checking in with yourself, am I on the right track? I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track is important, because that's the only way you're going to keep checking in on yourself to have that, reality check. Does this feel right for me? Is it right for me? Listen to your intuition, listen to your gut. It's always telling you the right thing. Have that internal dialogue with yourself. Have that internal dialogue with your unconscious and your spirit inside. Ask it these questions, because you'll be surprised what you feel. And what you feel should be acknowledged and honored, because when you ignore it, and anybody that's ever had an intuitive thought that said, don't do this, right? And you're like, shut up, I'm going to do it. I really want to do this. And you've gone and done it, and then you've got lived to regret it. I can guarantee you that's 100% people, right? Because whenever I've asked this question to my students over the last 15 years, the same answer has come out. 100% of people that have ignored their intuition have regretted it. And that what that tells us is your intuition is always right. So this
that
comes
you trying to say, I shouldn't have had that pizza. Damn.
it's like that, you know, should I have this last bite? Oh, this bite's kind of, you know, tip the scales. And then you have it and you're like, oh, is that psychological or is that intuitive? Who knows, right? Well, either way, you feel like crap, right?
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, you got to listen to your gut, especially when it comes to matters of eating. Because you see, the interesting thing about eating, or should I say overeating, and your intuition is overeating mutes your intuition, right?
I was going to say, it's like it clouds your judgment, isn't it?
100%. Overeating will mute, in other words, it will quieten or dumb down or completely, you know, silence your intuition. So you won't hear it. You won't feel it. Why? Because you've got all these gastrointestinal tract issues going on, right? And stomach issues going on, right? All this processing and everything going on, and you're, you know, all these muscles and sinews are, you know, trying to like hold everything in there together, are just getting strained under the weight and under all of the additional load that you're putting on your gastrointestinal tract and digestive system, that it can cause that whole thing to be mute. So you have to be very careful about that. All right. So if you want to stay attuned to yourself, eat the right amount. Now, you know, this is where fasting is really important. And the idea in fasting is to purge your digestive system of any extraneous substances, right, inside there. So you wash it all out so that you clean, okay? And then you become attuned to yourself and you're basically doing a reset. So it's important that you can learn to do that. I'm just going to switch this off 1 second. All right. And so by doing that, you basically opening the ears to your cosmos, right? Your intuition is your ears to your cosmos. Your abdominal region is your cosmic ears, whether you realize that or not. So if you really want to listen, right, you need to be able to have effective ears, right? And you can make your effective ears by making sure you do a good cleanse in the digestive system. So detox, fast, you know, again, you know, seek professional advice on fasting. You know, from my standpoint, I can give you some advice, and I'd say it, and again, you know, if you've got medical conditions and things like that, then, you know, you should seek advice from your physician or nutritionist or somebody that's qualified on that. But personally, what I've used, my fasting methods that I've used is I used to fast on Saturday, and I used to stop eating. I used to have my meal, dinner on a Friday around 6 or 7, and after 7, not eat anything till the following day around 5 o'clock, 4 to 5 o'clock next day. So basically dinner to dinner, but everything in between is no food intake. I can have water and that's it, right? No teas, no juices, no fruits, nothing like that. Just nothing, right? Just water. And what's happening during that time is because you go to sleep, your body is now processing all the food that's in your system. And when you wake up, generally what you do is, you know, once you get ready, brush, shower, and so on, you'd go and have breakfast or break your fast, okay? Because overnight you are technically fasting, but that fast then would prolong till the evening on that day. And if you, I did it for a year continuously, and what I found was, I didn't really have an objective why I was doing it, other than the fact that I had a feeling I needed to learn something from this. And I'm going to share the learning with you now. And that learning was this. Number one, it really cleanses your system. Okay. You will feel very hungry in the first few times you do it. Okay. Second was, I learned how to not be a slave to food. So I used to get hangry, you know, hungry and angry at the same time. And I thought, you know, that was something that I owned as one of my qualities, you know, one of my characteristics. And I was kind of used that as an excuse for bad behavior sometimes. But I didn't realize that until I started Indigenous fasting. And then I realized actually I can cultivate my ability to not to be a slave to food. And therefore, I actually don't need food. And if I haven't eaten for a meal or two meals, I can still keep going. I do not need to have food until the time is right. Or if my body's really craving it, but I won't get angry anymore. I just won't. I don't get angry anymore. So my wife used to say, oh, you know, do you want to eat? I'm like, no, you know, I'm okay. I don't need to eat anymore. I don't need to eat right now. I can wait. She's wonderful. You know, she really takes care of me. So she's like, you know, always, you know, kind, considerate, asking me about, you know, when we're going to have dinner. And she's like the cook. She's an amazing cook, right? I'm very blessed to have her in my life. I, on the other hand, am not a good cook at all. But so I'm lucky in that respect, right? Otherwise, it'll be like basics, yeah? So she loves cooking. And then sometimes when dinner's delayed or whatever, no big deal. I don't care. I really don't care. I've got no kind of urgency. I need to have food. I'll have it whenever the time is right. You know, I've got a routine and all this kind of stuff. But main takeaway is not a slave to food anymore, right? And what that also taught me is that actually the narrative around being hangry is a myth, complete bullshit. Yeah, right. Because we are trained to believe that. We are trained to consume, but actually we don't need to consume like that. We can consume when we want to, and we can do it ritually, right? So when I eat, for me, it's a ritual. It's a sacred time to sit down. In fact, even in India, they call it, when you sit down to eat, they call it Pet Puja, right? Which means stomach prayer or praying obeisances to your, you know, your digestive system, the system that's going to give you, you know, physical fuel for your body. So it becomes that. It's now, that's what it is eating to me, is that. So I don't need to eat. If I don't eat, big deal. I can wait. So it's just something for you to try. But it starts to allow you to reset your digestive system, but also, most importantly of all, allows you to reset to your intuition. Yeah. Listen out for that. Pardon the pun.
Absolutely, Sifu Lakhla. I think that's been some amazing insights. I think, do you want to do us the honors? Read the end bits and
absolutely
give the deeper
absolutely.
Insight into the topic.
So I am still yet moving. Stagnant energy diminishes and dies. Moving energy amplifies and lives. To tune into your energetic body, you need to be still so you can feel the energy of the universe coursing to you, through you. When you learn to channel the universal flow of energy, you can become one with the universe and be still yet moving.
That's fantastic, Sifu Lakhla. I think on that note, it'd be, you know, we're coming to an end. We can talk about these things forever, but we got things to do as well and move forward and be still in our thoughts, but yet think about what we need to get done next.
Exactly. This is the perseverance and persistence, right, happening.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, fantastic, Sifilo. Thank you for sharing your insights on that. And, you know, if anybody's interested to find out more, you can check out the book, The Art of Thinking Without Thinking, available at Amazon or marshallmindpower.com. Sifilo Akloy, before we sign out, any final words?
Final words. Just make the time. Make the time, you know, prioritize yourself, not just your body and the nutrition and the exercise part of it, not just that, but prioritize your mind and prioritize your spirit so that you holistically can grow and ascend in this life. So as I say, I am still yet moving.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that, Sifilo Akloy. Okay, everybody, thank you very much. Until next time, signing out.
If you took some value out of this podcast, then please like and subscribe to our channel. If you feel this podcast will help a loved one, then please kindly spread this wisdom by sharing this podcast link with them. For more information and learning materials on how to cultivate self-mastery towards your self-realization inspired by martial arts and philosophy, please go to www.martialmindpower.com. See you in the next podcast.